So today we're going to be continuing our series, The Songs of Christmas. And a little bit later, Steve Bell is going to be speaking to us. Steve is one of our elders. He is the church treasurer. He's also part of the staff team here at the church too. And we're really looking forward to what he's going to be talking to us about around the theme of faith, and particularly looking at Zechariah. And so to prepare for that, I'm going to read from Luke 1, from verse 67, Zechariah's song. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
Good morning and welcome to our online service. This morning we're going to continue our series, The Songs of Christmas. And you may recall that last week Mark looked at the song sung by Mary. And this morning we're going to look at the character of Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's father. His song is recorded in Luke 2. But before we can really appreciate that song, we need to first look at some of the verses in Luke chapter 1, which will give us a far better understanding of who Zechariah was and the journey that brought him to sing that amazing song. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he served in the temple at Jerusalem. And Luke tells us that Zechariah was a descendant of Abijah. Now, it's really important to know that Abijah was one of the 24 men appointed to carry out priestly duties by King David several thousand years before. When David was approaching the end of his life and had anointed Solomon to be his successor, he chose and appointed 24 men to serve as priests in the temple. And Abijah was the eighth man appointed of that 24 to serve in this way. The 24 served in the temple for two separate weeks each year, when they would travel to Jerusalem from their hometown. For the remaining 4 weeks of the year, the temple celebrated major events like the Passover, when all priests served at the temple because it was very busy. So it was no accident that Zechariah is the priest on duty in the temple on the day that the angel visits. It's a part of God's divine plan to save the world. While fulfilling his duties, Zechariah is confronted by the angel of the Lord, who tells him that he and Elizabeth, his wife, are going to have a long-awaited son, and that his name is to be John. Unsurprisingly, Zechariah is scared and fearful at what he sees and hears, and he questions the reality of the angel's message when he said, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Because of his response, the angel tells Zechariah that he will not be able to speak until this has come true at the proper time. Now, Luke recalls that Zechariah and Elizabeth were both upright in the sight of God and blameless when observing the commands and regulations. But they were not perfect. Yet God chose them in an amazing way to be the parents of John the Baptist, as he later became known. And in exactly the same way, God chooses us to fulfill his purposes, not because we are perfect, but because we are faithful and make ourselves available. We know Zechariah is not perfect because of his response to the angel in verse 18, where Zechariah says, "How can I be sure of this?" Now his faith enables him to carry out his priestly duties and obey the law, but it didn't let him believe the words the angel spoke. His faith had been weakened by circumstances, most likely for two reasons. Firstly, nobody had heard from God for over 400 years, and because the nation was in a really sorry state, having been oppressed by the Persians, the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Syrians, and now the Romans. And secondly, because of unanswered prayer. He and Elizabeth had wanted a child for many years, and it had not been possible. In a sense, these two reasons were very justifiable, and they still resonate with us today. On a personal level, we may feel we have not heard God speak to us for ages, and may also struggle with unanswered prayer. Here, Zechariah's confidence in God is rather low. But despite that, God still holds him to account for not heeding the angel's message. However, it would be true to say that Zechariah was actually proof that God had not abandoned Israel and was still working in the life of the nation. We need to be aware that Satan wants us as individuals and as a church to lose confidence in God. He is a master at deception, making us think that God has abandoned us when things don't seem to go our way. The consequence for Zechariah was silence for at least 9 months. His voice only returned when he obeys God's command and names his son John. Zechariah could have had a pity party, bemoaning his lot and generally being grumpy. But from his prayer, he did neither of these things. But it looks like it rekindled his love of God and his desire to read the Bible. You know, I'm not surprised by the vitality of Zechariah's prayer once his voice returned, because I think it reflects what had been going on in his journey for the previous 9 months. He almost explodes with passion as his voice returns. And I was imagining Mark not being able to speak for 9 months and suddenly getting his voice back. There will be thousands of words to get out. So as we move on to Zechariah's prayer, and as with Mark's reflection last week, it's split into two parts. The first part, a reflection of what God has promised and then subsequently done. And the second part contains a series of prophecies concerning his new son, John. You may recall that last week Mark said Mary's prayer was revolutionary. And for me this week, I believe Zechariah's prayer is foundational. And I say that because it contains the building blocks to maintain and build our faith. As Zechariah puts it in verses 68 to 75, we need to be able to praise God and remember he came to redeem us. That he did this by raising a saviour through the house of David as he promised, that he will rescue us from our enemies and show us mercy. I was thinking that perhaps there's not enough time to expand on these aspects, but suffice to say, Zechariah's faith was built on these and enabled him to walk faithfully with God through the most difficult times. But I've changed my mind, and I think there will be time to look briefly at those foundations on which Zechariah stood. Firstly, Zechariah praised God. It was an appreciation of who God was and his attributes. As we should know, God is holy, perfect, merciful, righteous, sovereign, and unchanging. And we can also praise God and appreciate that he is holy, perfect, merciful, righteous, sovereign, unchanging, and almighty. Also, we sing that song, All Hail the Lamb, which contains the line, "His praise shall be our battle cry." Praising God changes who we are, how we think, and enables us to face life's challenges. Secondly, Zechariah understood that he was redeemed. Being redeemed means to have been saved or delivered from sin and its consequences. Zechariah knew that reality. And we too can understand that we are redeemed and have been saved from sin and its eternal consequences. Thirdly, Zechariah understood that God had always promised a saviour and that he would come through the line of David. We too, in 2023, can understand that God has promised a saviour and can read of his lineage back to King David. Zechariah knew God had often rescued Israel from the grip of his enemies. And we too can know with absolute certainty that God can and has rescued us from the grip of Satan. Zechariah also knew that God had shown mercy despite sin and failure. And similarly, we too can know God's mercy despite our capacity to sin and fail. We can know all these things, not through knowledge of the Old Testament, but through a living relationship with Jesus, the Jesus born at Christmas time, and who gave his life for us all at Calvary. These are foundational aspects of faith and enable us to grow in Christ. Zechariah here was able to be faithful when life hurt. And he was faithful even though God was silent. His faith was built on the knowledge of what God had done in the past, which enabled him to stand in the present and acted as a springboard for all that would happen in the future. Likewise, our faith can be built on the knowledge of what Jesus has done for us in the past, which enables us to stand in the present and also act as a springboard for all that will happen to us in our futures. As we leave the first part of Zechariah's prayer, we must remember his prayer started with praise, undiluted and concise, an outpouring of understanding of who God was and what he had accomplished for him and the nation over countless generations. Simply put, our faith needs to be firmly anchored in praise. As we come to the second part of the prayer, I want us to imagine that Zechariah is holding John in his hands as a tiny baby, looking tenderly into his son's eyes and speaking with love and the tenderness a parent can show to their child. I want to reread those verses that Sally read to us earlier. And John says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people a knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." What an amazing privilege that was for Zechariah to share those words over his son, to have foreknowledge of the role his son will play in the development of the Christian church. Zechariah must have been immensely proud. And yet also it must have raised questions in his mind as to how this young child was going to develop to fulfill these prophecies. What I'd like us to do this morning is to take the words that Zechariah spoke to his son and to imagine that God is looking at us and sharing these words with us today. Because what happens here for Zechariah to John is very similar to the Great Commission. Just before Jesus went back into heaven, he told us to go into all the world and share his story. So imagine, if you would, this is Jesus speaking. He's talking to us by individual name. A prophet is someone who shares the word of God. It's someone who prepares the way for him. That's part of the Great Commission, that we would share the love of Jesus with those that we meet, that we prepare the hearts of those to listen to what he has to say. Zechariah in verse 77 says, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. That's part of the story we can share with others, to make them aware that there is salvation to be found in and through Jesus. And that salvation leads to the forgiveness of their sins. And all because, as John says in verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God. What an amazing God we do serve. It's tender mercy. It's not harsh or repressive. It enables us to walk with Christ. In verse 79 he says, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. As we act as the light in this world, we do just that. We share our light with those living in darkness, for those who are living in the shadow of death. And our words and our actions can guide people into the path of peace. I hope that as we've walked through those few verses, that you have been able to imagine Jesus talking to you, looking at you intently, loving you, caring for you, and wishing that you would be able to share his story with those that we meet on a daily basis. Zechariah's song is amazing. I did wonder as I read this story whether Zechariah would have still been alive when his son was executed, and part of me hopes that he wasn't. That his memories of John were him striding out into the wilderness, being prepared by God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then sharing the love that was to come through Jesus. Zechariah was a faithful man. He served in the temple. He faithfully brought up his son. And is an example to all of us, that our lives should be anchored in praise. Our lives should be anchored on the knowledge of what God has done, and that will enable us to walk into all that God promises to do with us in the future. You know, if we want as a church to have a vibrant faith, we need to fully understand the Christmas story. Because the birth of Jesus, our Saviour, is the foundation of faith. Because it's the place where the first practical steps of salvation are laid. It was when God sent his son. That is where our faith can rest.